the leadership that they find within their organizations. And when they need legal help, the Lawyers Guild is always there with observers and to represent them if they get arrested. So on the ground, that's some of the things. I don't pretend to want to give them the kind of advice in terms of what targets they're picking, for example, what kind of tactics they're using in terms of civil disobedience or whatever it may be, demonstrating. I think all of that is good, and I support all of it as resistance and moving forward the movements. So in that sense, I don't sit here as trying to be some kind of big Pooh Bear and telling people what they should do, but they should know that the Guild and lawyers and offices like ours are there to help and to represent them to the degree we're able to do so. And the second part of your question?
What do you wish more people knew about the law?
Well, I think by writing these books and hopefully getting them out to as many people as possible and talking, you know, people like you and other folks who want to know about these mixed legal and political battles, I want more people to understand the law in that context, to understand the law not as some standalone piece, but as part of a system that attempts to and does oppress people of color, poor people, not only here, but around the world. And so if in some small way, writing about the police torture scandal here, writing about the court proceedings in the Jackie Wilson case, for example, and all the different judges and courts and grand juries and everything that was involved in that, in the Hampton case, federal and state, you can get hopefully a feel for the law, and that you get a feel for the law and the political context of the law that you're not going to learn certainly from the corporate media, or you're not going to learn by some kind of sterile type of courses that you might take in either college or at law school. And so in that sense, hopefully these books open people's minds, people who are interested in political struggle, the context and the relationship of law and courts and politicians and prosecutors and cops to the law, to the criminal legal system, that these books will maybe open some eyes in terms of what the realities are with regard to the law in these contexts.
Taylor, your book, The Conviction Machine, Prosecutors, Politicians, and Police Violence in Chicago, is available now from Haymarket Books.
The Final Star Radio is a proud member of the Channel Zero Network of Anarchist Podcasts, and here's a jingle from another member of CZN.
The Frontline Herbalism Podcast is a show for people who love plants and care about liberation. Plant knowledge, medicine-making tips, interviews, and advice on how to skill up to strengthen collective autonomy, self-defense, and resilience to climate change, capitalism, and state violence. Find the podcast at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.
This is The Final Straw Radio. The show will later be archived at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can email us with questions and suggestions at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net or thefinalstrawradio@protonmail.com. If you'd like to use any episode for your project or radio show, feel free to do so. Just send us an email to let us know. If you care to, you can send us letters at TFSR, P.O. Box 6004, Asheville, North Carolina, 28816. Programming support is brought to you by Firestorm Books, located at 1022 Haywood Road in West Asheville. Firestorm is a bookstore and social movement space owned by its workers, in operation since 2008. Their event calendar and complete catalog of books can be found online at firestorm.coop.
der Treppenhaus riecht nach Kuss. Im Feuermelder versteckt mir Packs und Schnuff. Crack Rauch liegt in der Luft. Der Drecksaufzug ist kaputt. Kennst du das kaputte Aufzüge? Du liegst grad im Bett und hast schlecht geschlafen. Plötzlich platzt deine Schwester ins Zimmer. Weckt dich wie Alarm und Stress tat und sagt, die Aufzüge sind kaputt. Mama war beim Supermarkt und Metzger grad. Gegenfahre und ich soll die Tüten jetzt fangen. Vom Bett geschossen die 16. Etage. Ja genau, plus 4 Packs, je 6 Flaschen Metzeral. Der Kanak sagt zu seiner Schwester, mach dir das etwa extra. Kaputte Aufzüge. Nach Orchideen, Doktoren gegen paar Professoren leben. Dort, wo wir leben, will jeder fort von ihr. Doch der Tank vom Portemonnaie, ihr bringst dich fort. Von ihr beide stehen zwei Porsche in der Einfahrt. Schau vom Balkon in den Hochhauseingang. Sehe einen schwarzen Leichenwagen geparkt. Im UF mein Park, leider Alltag. Anscheinend nahm sich mein Nachbar sein Leben, der Deutsch-Zigeuner namens Meier. Erst nach den drei Tagen seine Leiche am Seil lang. Und es im Flur roch nach verbotenen Eiern. Rief der Hausmeister die Polizei an. Pack das Matti Ali Eier. Steig in den BMW 3er ab, ab der A3 nach Bayern. Pack das Matti Ali Eier. Kaputte Aufzüge.
Thank you.
Airing on Asheville FM 103.3 LPFM in Asheville, this is The Final Straw Radio, a weekly anarchist and anti-authoritarian broadcast and podcast emanating out of occupied Chalagie land in southern Appalachia. We bring you voices and perspectives from projects and struggles all around the world, and you can find our archives, transcripts, ways to follow us and support us at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org. This week we're taking a break from new content and sharing with you the elements of the May 2026 episode of Bad News, Angry Voices from Around the World. Bad News is a collaboration of members of the A Radio Network of anarchist and anti-authoritarian radios and podcasts with members in Europe, the US, and Chile at this time. Each month, one of the member projects takes responsibility to put together audio segments from other radio and podcast projects in the A Radio Network. And about the time that we're releasing this, the June 2026 episode should be released, so keep an eye out at a-radio-network.org, and you can click the Bad News link to see the monthly episodes going way back as they are released.
Hi, comrades. Great to have you here with us listening to our 102nd episode of Bad News.
In this episode, we will be listening to Sherna Luknia with a contra report about the situation on the border of Greece and migrant struggles, where they interview a member of the Open Assembly Against Putschback in Athens and of Notara Migrant Squad.
After that, we will listen to an interview made by Frequence A about indigenous struggles with a comrade from Santarém, Brazil.
And at the end, we will hear an interview made by Radio Parias about abortion in Greece by Retraverse Assembly.
So let's start with you, Sherna Luknia, anarchist show on Radio Student.
Poklicali ste Črno Luknjo in njeno kontrainformativno mrežo. Po pisku oddajte svoj glas.
Hello. We have opportunity to speak with the comrades from Greece that also presented last Friday part on repression in Greece considering gentrification. So also we used this opportunity to host this comrade to talk about the migrant issue.
Hey, hello, comrades. Welcome. We are very happy to host you here again. This is part of Open Assembly Against Pushbacks in Athens. Would you like to tell us some words about this attempt you're having there the last years?
Yes. So first of all, I would like to thank you for hosting me also in the event of the last Friday, but also in this radio show. So I would like to start by the say some information about the assembly of against pushbacks that is located in Athens. We have been active the last 6 years. We are located in Athens, and we participate in a coordination network the last 2 years of anti-racist assemblies and structures in Athens. So let's say what we have been doing the last years is also connecting the topic of migration with the other movement, self-organized anarchist and anti-authoritarian. We started slowly having more open assemblies after the pushback of Pylos, that 600 people were killed. Our structure is like we have one structure, one working group that works on propaganda, one that works on material, and one that works about connecting and making events with other assemblies, other structure from other cities. We also, from the last year after the Balkan Anarchist Festival that happened in Thessaloniki, we proposed and we created a new network of assemblies and structure about migration in on a Balkan and European level, let's say, firstly.
Thank you. In Athens, there is also this Notara squad that is hosting a lot of migrants and is really an important center of this struggle. Could you also tell us some words about the situation there?
Yes, so Notara is a squat that is located in Exarchia neighborhood, which is also a very important neighborhood for the movement of anarchists and anti-authorians. For us, it's really important. So, and also, it's one of, let's say, right now, the two migrant housing squads. The other one is the community of squatted Prosfigika. So, the Natara has been existing the last 11 years, and it's mainly comrades from Greece, but mainly comrades that are from African countries, and mainly families from Congo, Sudan, and other countries. So we have our, let's say, our general assembly once per week, when we decide what events, how we will get our self-organized communal life. And also we have some structures, like the health structure, that it's mainly for the residents of the squad, but it's also connected with the health structure of Prosfigika squad and of the self-organized structure of Exarchia. And also we have the children structure that, as I said before, mainly in the squad are living actually a lot of families. And something to say about our recent struggles, because also of the anti-migrant new law, we have facing a lot of repression, as also as squad, but also as migrant squad. So the last months and year, they're trying to cut very often or connection to water or to electricity. And also another struggle, that because of the new anti-migrant law, is that because of a lot of checks of, let's say, of the papers and all this, we have faced, and also some two comrades of us right now are in prison because of, like, the state saying that their papers are not really good. So we have also to struggle about this, and it's a continuous struggle. Also, the last 2 years, we are really connected with the struggle on Congo, because also a lot of comrades are there, and we have a campaign about this, speaking about what's going on Congo, and trying also to connected, for example, as I said before, with the anti-racist coordination of assemblies in Athens. This.
In February, we had another incidence of pushback happening in this area close to Chios Island. We saw what was the unacceptable reaction from the part of Greek government. Could you tell us some words about how is the situation in the sea and river borders in Greece, and how the situation is affecting from the new European law?
Yes, on 3rd of February, actually, this pushback happened. To say also some more information, it was a boat with 40 people, and the boat of Greek Coast Guard attacked them very near to the coast of Chios. So 15 people were killed, and 11 of them were seriously injured. And some of them was also mothers that were pregnant. And two of them were, attacked on a legal level, that after they were saved by all this situation, they were put in prison, saying that they were the ones that tried to pass the others to Greece, which is something that we see a lot, actually, in Greece. It's also another struggle that is running a lot, especially in the locality of Crete, the island in Greece, that a lot of courts are happening, saying that the people that lived through and pushbacks, there are the smugglers, and they're taking like hundreds of years in prison. And the situation is really hard, because they don't have even the right to have a lawyer, even from the state. And usually these these trials are not even translated in their mother language or even in French. About the pushbacks, actually they are still going on, sadly, especially in the border of that we are next to Turkey, like the islands of Lesbos, of Chios. Like in Lesbos there was one like 3 days ago. So all this, it's a whole procedure, because even if the people that could manage to leave after the pushbacks, there is all this struggle to continue, because also it's not only like the ones that are put in jail saying that they are the struggles, also the other ones that they're going probably to end up, which also with the new anti-migrant law, the situation comes, it's really hard. Even like the NGOs that they were taking money from the state, right now slowly the majority of them are closing. So, and it's really hard for the solidarity people, the self-organized initiatives, to get inside of the camp, because all these privatization, the criminalization they're trying to promote of the undocumented people.
Okay, thank you very much from this contra report from borders of Greece and other issue connected with the migrant situation. Thank you very much.
Napovedujemo revoluciju.
Up next, we have an interview with Rafael, a comrade from Santarém, Brazil, by Frequency A.
We will hear about anarchist organizations in the region, threats to indigenous communities, their struggles, and how anarchists can support them.
Let's hear more from Frequency A.
Hi, can you please introduce yourself with whatever name you prefer, your pronoun, and your affiliations, which make sense for the talk?
Well, hello. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with comrades so far away about the struggles taking place in the Amazon. I am Rafael. I am Rafael Zilio. I am a geographer. I am professor at the Federal University of Western Pará in the Brazilian Amazon. And I'm a member of the Brazilian Anarchist Coordination, our national organization, as well as the Amazon Libertarian Cultural Center, CCLA, an anarchist convergence space located in Belém, the capital of the state of Pará.
Yeah, maybe first you can a little bit describe your, I don't know, anarchist activity or the associations where you are part of, like what are you doing, how does it look like?
Well, first of all, politically, I'm a member of the Brazilian Anarchist Coordination. It's an anarchist organization that was established since 15 years ago, and it's influenced by the specifics from the Uruguayan Anarchist Federation, and now we are presenting in 12 Brazilian states, from Pará to Rio Grande do Sul, from Rio de Janeiro to Pernambuco, Bahia, etc. And we have several fronts of struggle, like the education front, the syndicalist front, and I'm a part of the territorial front of struggles. Because of that, I'm supporting some territorial struggles, in my case, the indigenous ones, but there are several comrades supporting Afro-descendant quilombolas struggles, landless agriculture struggles, and so on. And nowadays, we have connections with Latin American anarchist organization called CALA, the Latin American Anarchist Coordination.
Maybe you can describe a little bit further how you established the connection with the indigenous people and how it looks like. I mean, and maybe first, like you said, you are part of the CAB, but how does it look like how you participate in that? Like, as I understood, it's a bigger network. And so is there local groups? Is there, for example, also a local group, anarchist group, or different groups in Santa Rem? Or is there, like, is it more that it's a network out of single persons and groups? Or how does it look like?
Well, the Brazilian Anarchist Coordination, it's organized by several groups around Brazil. In Santa Rem, we have a group called Tapajoara, like our Tapajós River, near the Amazon River. And we have, fortunately, a lot of comrades, anarchist comrades, organized in the Tapajoara organization. But first of all, my first articulation with indigenous peoples were by my job. I'm a professor from the university. I'm a geographer, and I work researching territorial struggles and counter map cartographies, and the indigenous movement are very, very strong in this region of Amazon. Because of that, it was almost natural that I'm not an indigenous person, but I rapidly connect with indigenous peoples, because the several indigenous ones are very open to the actuation of the act and the research from the university. It's important to highlight that my university is a public university, a total free university. It's a good thing that we have in Brazil, but the public university allows me to do my research without threats and with my way, including using anarchists as a political and theoretical and methodological reference. And I have contact with indigenous people since 2018. Since 2018, the year that I arrived in Santarém. And it's interesting that the indigenous movement in this region of Pará State of the Amazon are one of the most combative sectors of the indigenous movement if we take Brazil, entire Brazil. I think it's that.
Can you maybe briefly describe like how the life of indigenous people there look like? Like how much urbanization reach them, yeah, or I don't know, however you think it's important to describe.
Yes, well, according to the most recent national census in 2022, people who self-identify as indigenous make up 0.8% of Brazil's population. This may seem small, but the indigenous movement has been one of the most combative and expressive in the country over the past 10 years. Here in the Santarém region, where I am, this number rises to 5.11%. And if we take the same national census, about 52% of people who self-identify as indigenous live in cities. Because of that, we need to think indigenous peoples not only that in a bit forests or far regions, but as also peoples urbanized, peoples that live in the cities, but in the peripheries and of the cities, the favelas, the slums. Brazil is a very urbanized country. And for the indigenous peoples, this is the same. As I said, 52% of indigenous peoples live in cities. There are a very interesting and a strong number. People that doesn't have connection with indigenous ones and the indigenous realities may think that indigenous peoples are primitive or are inhabitants of agrarian rural worlds or just forests. Yes, of course, we have a lot of indigenous peoples in the forests, but we have also a lot of indigenous peoples living in the peripheries of the medium and the large Brazilian cities.
And you said that they are quite, how you said, combative, what, maybe you can say, what do you mean by that? Like how the resistance look like?
Well, first of all, I need to speak of the Amazon context to explain the indigenous conquest, the context. Well, historically, the Amazon has been understood as a frontier for the geographical expansion of capitalism, supposedly inexhaustible.
Hey, Mattie. Hallo.
Mooi t-shirt.
Ik zag dat je ook nog wat ging doen. Hier.
Gisteren?
Oh,
ja,
shit.
Joh, vet,
oh,
man. Ik heb het concert van je leven gemist. Dus dat hoorde ik net. Samen met Dens, hij op die basballen, en ik op gitaar.
Okay.
Gewoon heel simpel. Omdat we met z'n tweeën, als we met z'n tweeën zonder te veel shit, zeg maar, dan krijg je echt de magie tussen die twee snaarinstrumenten.
Ja, we hebben nog een kankerspeetje. Holy shit.
Er zaten allemaal mensen te trippen, dus die wisten niet meer waar ze zoeken moesten. Dus missie geslaagd, zou ik zeggen.
Ja, nou, hartstikke goed. Dus je gaat, ik dacht dat je vandaag...
Nou, maar ik heb gewoon een noise tent, dus ik kan gewoon herrie maken.
Okay.
Dag en nacht.
Ja. Nou, dus, dat gaan we zo meteen al meemaken, ja, dan denk ik. Nou, ik ga nog even naar de theetuin, want er schijnt ook iets te gebeuren.
Ah, vet. Leuk, man.
Alles overal natuurlijk.
Goeie missie.
Ja, we gaan op zoek. Nou zie ik hier wel een soort foldertje. Oh, die had ik nog niet. Is dat met het hele programma erop? Oh, kijk eens. Die zocht ik, ja. Zondag. Nou, Jezus. Ja, nou. Mattie, zie je later.
Ja, thanks. Ah, QR-code. Cool.
Ja, kan je luisteren.
Het is heel erg Chinees.
Even kijken. Nou ja, een heel programma nu erbij zelfs. En dan zien we dat Theo's theetuin. Even kijken. Oh ja, school der poëzie. Het begint om 2:00. Gaan we maar eens even naar zoek. Ja.
tuin langs waar ooit Hans Plomp huisde. Het is ondertussen bijzonder warm, zoals je misschien... Feigl's kunstwerk. Slangen die in de vijver.
Октябрь уж наступил, уж роща отряхает последние листы с ноги своих ветвей. Вдохнул осенний хлад, дорога промерзает, журча еще бежит за мельницу ручей, но пруд уже застыл. Сосед мой поспешает в отъезжие поля с охотою своей, и страждут озими от бешеной забавы, и будет лай собак, уснувшие дубравы. Теперь моя пора. Я не люблю весны. Скучна мне оттепель, вонь, грязь. Весной я болен. Кровь бродит, чувства ум тоскою стеснены. Суровую зимой я более доволен. Люблю ее снега в присутствии луны. Как легкий бег саней с подругой быстрый волен, когда под соболем согрета и свежа она вам руку жмет, пылая и дрожа. Как весело, обув железом острым ноги, скользить по зеркалу стоячих ровных рек. О зимних праздников блестящие тревоги. Но надо знать и честь. Полгода снег да снег. Ведь это, наконец, и жителю берлоги медведю надоест. Нельзя же целый век кататься нам в санях с армидами молодыми или киснуть у печей за стеклами двойными. Ох, лето красное, любил бы я тебя, когда б не зной, да пыль, да комары, да мухи. Ты все душевные способности губя нас мучишь, как поля мы страждем от засухи. Лишь как бы напоить да освежить себя, иной в нас мысли нет. И жаль зимы старухи, и, проводив ее блинами и вином, поминки ей творим мороженым и льдом. Дни поздней осени бронят обыкновенно, но мне она мила, читатель дорогой, красою тихою, блистающей смиренно. Как нелюбимое дитя в семье родной к себе меня влечет. Сказать вам откровенно, из годовых времен я рад лишь ей одной. В ней много доброго, любовник нетщеславный, умел я отыскать мечтою своенравной. Как это объяснить? Мне нравится она, как, вероятно, вам, чахоточная дева, порою нравится. На смерти суждена, бедняжка клонится без ропота, без гнева, улыбка на устах увянувших видна. Могильной пропасти она не слышит, зева. Играет на лице ее багровый цвет. Она жива еще сегодня, завтра нет. Унылая пора, очей очарование, приятна мне твоя прощальная краса. Люблю я пышное природу увиданья, багрец и в золото одетые леса, в их сенях ветра шум и свежие дыхания, и мглой волнистую покрыты небеса, и редкое солнце луч, и первые морозы, и отдаленные седой зимы угрозы. И с каждой осенью я расцветаю вновь, здоровью моему полезен русский холод. К привычкам бытия вновь чувствую любовь, чередой слетает сон, чередой находит голод, легко и радостно играет в сердце кровь, желания кипят, я снова счастлив, молод, я снова жизни полон. Таков мой организм. Извольте мне простить ненужный прозаизм. Ведут ко мне коня. В раздолье открытом, махая гривою, он всадника несет. И звонко под его блистающим копытом звенит промерзлый дол и трескается лед. Но гаснет краткий день, и в камельке забытом огонь опять горит, то яркий свет льет, то тлеет медленно, а я пред ним читаю и думы долгие в душе моей питаю. И забываю мир, и в сладкой тишине я сладко усыплен моим воображением, и пробуждается поэзия во мне. Душа стесняется лирическим волнением, трепещет и звучит, и ищет, как во сне, и злится, наконец, свободным проявлением. И тут ко мне идет незримый рой гостей, знакомцы давние, плоды мечты моей. И мысли в голове волнуются в отваге, и рифмы легкие навстречу им бегут, и пальцы просятся к перу, перо в бумаге. Минута, и стихи свободно потекут. Так дремлет недвижим корабль в недвижной влаге. Но чу, матросы вдруг кидаются, ползут вверх, вниз, и паруса надулись ветра полны, громада двинулась и рассекает волны. Плывет. Куда ж нам плыть?
Aanklacht tegen de trouweloze geliefde, goed nagedacht en besluit tot de afreis. Ik ben een mens met zijn gebreken, ik plant een nieuwe druivelaar. Ik vertrek voor ver, hoezeer het vertrek mij kan bezwaren, vaarwel, ik ben vertrekkens klaar.
Es wird Nacht.
Gesicht fällt auf die Seite. Der Herbstwind fegt die Straße leer. Jetzt stehst du da an der Laterne mit Tränen im Gesicht. Das Abendlicht verjagt die Schatten. Die Zeit steht still.
Сигарета мелькает во тьме, ветер пепел в лицо швырнул мне, и обугленный фильтр на пальцах мне оставил ожог. Скрипнув сталью, открылась дверь. Ты идешь, ты моя теперь. Я приятную дрожь ощущаю с головы до ног. Плавно на пол все твое белье. Шум деревьев и ветер ночной стон заглушат твой и мой, и биение сердца пылающего адским огнем. в сердце мне. Груди плавно качнутся в ночи, слышишь, как мое сердце стучит. Два пылающих тела сольются в ночной тишине. Ты со мною, забудь обо всем, эта ночь нам покажется сном. Я возьму про счастливую ночь. Ты со мною, забудь обо всем, эта ночь нам покажется сном. Я возьму тебя и прижму к родную дочь. А-а-а, но закутает и сигарет. Ты уйдешь, когда станет рассвет, и следы на постели напомнят про счастливую ночь.
Your turn. keskin bıçak yarasıdır. Keskin bıçak yarasıdır. Büyür yoksulluk sancısı. Çivisi çıkmış düzeni. Kim yolcusu, kim hancısı? Çivisi çıkmış düzeni. Kim yolcusu, kim hancısı?
Gül solarsa kalır diken, alevlenir damarda kan. Bu memleket cennet iken, bu cehennem azabı ne? Bu memleket cennet iken, bu cehennem azabı ne?
Adaletsiz bu düzeni. Kim hakimi, kim savcısı? Adaletsiz bu düzeni. Kim hakimi, kim savcısı?
Gül solarsa kalır diken, alevlenir damarda kan. Bu memleket.